So, are you completely, like, totally tired of this campaign season? Yes. By local and especially national candidates? And do you get tired ever of politicians constantly campaigning rather than doing the jobs that they were elected to do in the first place? Well, this Pharisee seems to me to be campaigning for God's love. He's reminding God of how great he is, huge, and he does seem to lead a model life. He's an example of a success story. He's a success story. It would be true in Jesus' day, and it'd be true in our time. I'll tell you something. Someone like him would probably be a guy most churches would approach to serve on the church vestry. He's an upstanding citizen, an active member of the temple. He prays, he attends services regularly, he follows the law with careful precision, and he even tithes his income. Let's sign him up, right? But the tax collector is the one that becomes the hero of the story. It's probably impossible for us to imagine the irony of this all and to grasp just how outrageous this parable would have sounded to people in Jesus' day. A tax collector. The tax collector. We're not all that wild about him even today, but especially then, he was a low-life scoundrel. He was a traitor to his own people. He worked for the oppressive empire of Rome. He fleeced his fellow Jewish citizens of their hard-earned money to support an oppressive regime. Yet, it's this tax collector and not the Pharisee, who is extolled as justified in right relationship with God. This story is a good reminder, and one of many throughout the Bible. You can't win or buy or earn God's love, because God loves each and every one of us with an equal amount of unbounded love, regardless of how well we perform or how hard we work. The moral of this story is that you can't win God's vote, because before you even begin campaigning, you have won in God's eyes. God's already voted for you. Of course, you can harden your heart and you can block yourself off from this amazing grace of God. And actually, that seems to be about what the Pharisee did. Listen to the Pharisee's prayer. Go over it again. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. It isn't a prayer at all, really. It's a checklist of how great he is. He's ticking off all of his accomplishments on his resume to win God's vote, to remind God of just how wonderful he is. As we listen to the Pharisee, we discover there's not a whole lot of love. There's not a real strong loving relationship between him and God, at least on his side. This is not how one who is very beloved talks to the one who loves him. This is a business relationship for this Pharisee. The Pharisee has earned some points and he wants to cash in on them. He has God in his pocket, under his control, he thinks. And as for that tax collector, well, he didn't even try. All he could do was surrender, beat his breast, submit, fall on God's mercy, and then, when he did so, he recognized that even before he opened his mouth, he'd already been embraced by the amazing grace of God, which was always there, waiting for him, whether he knew it or not. And when we read the parable and put ourselves into the role of the Pharisee, I think that we must inevitably ask, why do I do the good things that I do? Why am I here? Why do I practice my faith? If we understand that God is a God of ultimate generosity and abundance, and that nothing that we do or say ever makes God love us or anyone else any more or any less, then our practice of our faith, our spiritual life, our good deeds, our tithing, our worship is all a celebration of that amazing grace of God, an expression of joy and thanks for everything that we have been given. So, let's stop the campaign right now, because God's already voted for you and you and you and every one of us. It's time to offer Eucharist. That is thanksgiving to God for all of the wonderful gifts that he gives us. Amen. Amen.